Welcome to the Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church, Menominee, Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us today. We are broadcasting locally via Street Level Radio 101.7 FM, broadcasting regionally on television, and broadcasting internationally via the internet. So no matter how you got here, we're glad you are with us today. We're rewinding James chapter 3, verse 13 through chapter 4, verse 6 in a message that was entitled, The Test of Authenticity. So let's get into it.
Meaning that we move beyond what we do, and that's what we've been talking about thus far. And now we move into the why. Looking into that is, I think, something many of us, we will just simply avoid at all cost. The why we do what we do. A constant battleground. And it's a battle that you will eventually lose. And some lose quickly, some lose late, but they always lose. All that James has covered thus far in this letter, and don't get me wrong, it's certainly been good counsel. It's been good stuff. It's stuff that we need to address. But ultimately, all of that we've covered thus far are symptoms of what is really in our hearts. Wisdom is rather the natural ability to understand things and then apply that to real life situations. And you're all probably thinking about somebody now, somebody you think is really wise. Maybe they don't have a lot of schooling, but they're just really wise. We can gather from Scripture elsewhere that God considers this wisdom thing to be a good thing. Proverbs 3, verse 13 says, Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gets understanding. What comes out of us tells, though, the whole story, tells the truth of who we are and really tells of what's in there. James in verse 13 tells us also that a wise man will show himself to be wise by living in a way that actually reflects the life of a wise man. Many of us say, oh, I'm so wise, I'm so smart, and yet we never engage, we never actually apply the things that we think that we or say that we know. And that's going to involve engaging God to do so in fear and in awe and in respect. Saying we are wise, yet spewing both words and a lifestyle of self-interest and envy, James says it's lying against the truth. So the fact is, wisdom or the lack of it shows itself in the product. What we have is confusion, confusion, confusion. And yet we keep barreling forward. And you know, I would challenge you, I don't think that's God. That's you. God's not the author of confusion. God's the author of peace. It shouldn't be that way. We as Christians, be holy as I am holy, God said. So, you know, when we go after holiness, when we start with purity, what follows is peace. And this kind of lifestyle, James says, without hypocrisy. It's evident to everyone. Without hypocrisy. Meaning, he is what he is. He's privately what he is publicly. He is what the Bible says, a guy who there is no guile. And in case you don't realize this, Satan goes to church every Sunday. You got to know that.
After some extensive handling of what we are to do as an authentic child of God, now James is moving this week into the ultimate question, and that's the question of why. Why are we doing this stuff? And the answer to that question, it certainly can be of many, from family pressures to social and cultural upbringing to, perhaps simply guilt, or maybe even just religious habit. And many of us are, in fact, quite fearful and even unwilling to analyze such an issue because many of us are afraid to look deep into our hearts, to look into our motivations and truly test our authenticity. We're afraid, if you will, to look down into that deep well. So sadly, therefore, there's going to be really untold numbers of people who will spend their lives going to church and they still will be ultimately lost for all eternity because while they did what they thought they were supposed to do, well, at least most of the time they did, they still never really knew the person whom they feigned service and commitment to, and thus they were still lost because God, you need to know this, gang, God doesn't need you. He doesn't need you to serve him. The scriptures say that he could have rocks cry out for him if he didn't have you and I to do so. So we're told now that he needs nothing from us and he's not dependent upon us in any way. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 14 says, "Has the Lord ever needed anyone's advice? Does he need instruction about what is good? Did someone teach him what is right and show him the path of justice?" And then Acts 17:25 says, "He," that's God, "is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else." That's just why we do what we do to further the kingdom and to glorify the kings. We indeed, that is important, but why we do these things, it's even more important that we grasp that concept. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. We're just blowing in the wind. Now, ultimately, what is actually in us is going to leak out of us. In the account Jesus told of the four soils, what was ultimately produced reflected the facts of the soil's condition. Oh, indeed, sometimes it took a while, but always in time, that was made manifest, and in time, we will see what is genuinely in there. James, he spoke last week concerning the tongue, and really that was a fine example of this phenomenon, because James, he stated clearly that what is coming off the tongue is actually coming from our hearts. And as I mentioned on Sunday, I've heard some incredible profanity-laced tirades coming off the lips of folks who are professed children of God. And from others, vicious lies in an effort to bruise and to draw blood. In these cases, and so many more, have shined a bright light upon what is inside an individual despite whatever facade existed on the outside. Now, James, he began this week and he asked that question, who is wise? And indeed, that's a legitimate question for most folks, I think, would claim that they are wise, at least on some level. Now, certainly we can tweak this issue. We can learn, if you will, to be wiser, or at least channel what wisdom we have for greater impact. But with that being said, the fact is, this wisdom that James speaks of here is for more or less, it's God-given wisdom. It's one of those spiritual giftings, if you will, that are crucial to many, especially those who are called to the ministry on some level. So what I'm saying is this isn't book learning, you know, the stuff you learn in the classroom. This is the stuff that comes naturally, or maybe we would be better off saying comes supernaturally. For sure, it is manifested, it is played out, and it is so played out while in motion. It's something that is lived out. This isn't the soliloquies of a sedentary couch potato here. One must be engaged to actually convey true wisdom. Now, James, in verse 13, he tells us also that a wise man will show himself to be wise by living in a way that actually reflects a life of a wise man. In other words, you'll know a wise man by the way that he or she lives, because wisdom, you see, isn't just about knowing things. It's not just about assenting to correct data, if you will. It's about living a faithful, wholesome, and consistent lifestyle that levels the road before him and others. For the believer, that life is one that pursues the Holy Spirit as a quote-unquote way of the Lord. Verse 14 of our text reflects the opposite of manifesting wisdom, and that is manifesting envy and manifesting self-seeking. These things are ultimately a manifest of self. And it brings to us and to everyone around us chaos and confusion. And that is never from God. That is never about God. For he, according to Scripture, is not the author of confusion. And yet so many of us, we will travel a road of personal decision that is fraught with confusion, jealousy, selfishness, and yet even as confessed believers, we refuse to turn back. We just plow ahead because we want something so badly, we're willing to burn the village in order to get it. And of course, you know, hands are nowhere on such a project, God's hands, that is. And thus, we stand alone in that situation with an empty gas can and some spent matches. Godly wisdom, aka righteous wisdom, according to James, is a wisdom that is from above. First pure, he said, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. You see, these things are the handprint of God when it comes to his wisdom. We can say anything we want, but this is the reflection of the authentic, God-given wisdom. We are told that the evidence of this righteous, God-given wisdom is good fruit. It's really that simple. It'll be good stuff. It'll be kingdom building. It'll be God glorifying. It'll be personally humbling. A true God-reflecting individual, you see, will interact in the world and with people, and they'll do so without partiality, without hypocrisy. And that wise individual will be known to all, because that kind of life will not, it simply cannot be hidden from the world. It's a bright light in a dark world, and it will be no secret. He or she will be no secret. That wise man will be outside what he is in the inside, just as we all are, ultimately, for good or bad. Now, this heavenly gift of wisdom should be sought of God and lived out via the Spirit's indwelling Spirit. One must be willing to self-evaluate. One must be able to self-evaluate. And to do that, honestly, for many of us, you see, we're unable or at least unwilling to ask honestly, as James did, where do wars and fightings among you come from? And we are unwilling to make that question because the answer is, quote, out of the abundance of the heart, Matthew 12:34. As believers, we must practice regular reviews of ourselves. We must have the ability, we must have the wisdom to do so honestly. 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves, Paul says. Do you not realize that if Jesus is in you, you also must be in him? And then in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, we read, search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Now, the fact is, today, many of us, even those who are professed believers today, many of us are living in what is essentially spiritual adultery. We're cheating on our Redeemer. We're cheating on the one who should be our first and only love. No, don't get me wrong. We haven't left our first to run off with a second. No, it isn't like that. Rather, we want to keep the first and occasionally slip off for an illicit interaction with the second, which is the world. It's lust. It's adultery. It's cheating. But again, are you willing to look into that deep, dark well?